Okay, welcome you guys. My name is Chloe Ballatore. I'm a relationship and communication expert. I'm a graduate of Princeton University and Pat Allen's Want Institute. And I use the tools of transactional analysis as created by Eric Byrne. I use tools of androgynous semantic realignment as created by my mentor, Pat Allen. And I also use tools that I have created because I've been doing this work for about 12 years now. I'm also over 20 years married, so everything that I am teaching you, I have gone through myself and have vetted and have had my own success. And I came to this work when I was 10 years married. And I can honestly say that it changed my life and it saved my marriage. And when I saw that I was good at it, and a lot of people were asking me a lot of questions, because I started out in a group like this, but it was in person and it was all women. Then I started doing more of it, and I started doing this work as a private service. And then right before the pandemic started, I had moved into branching out and sharing it with other people. I've written four books on this work, and those are all available on Amazon. The first one, How to Live, Find, Love, and Keep It. Here, I'm going to put my credentials in the chat. Is kind of the handbook to this work, and it has all the basics in it. So if you want to check that out, you can. I also put my website in there. I am on TikTok, Instagram. I also teach this work in module packages. I do not have a module for you guys to sign up. Well, you can sign up there at any time, and then I start it up, but there's not one happening. Like with dates yet. But as soon as people sign up for those, I usually set those dates up pretty fast. My next event, other than in these Thursday nights, which I do almost every Thursday, I am teaching an event, Dating for Alpha Women. It's actually a class that I taught early on when I first started in person, and did it as dating and relationships, and that was a 3-hour event. This is going to be an hour and a half, and I'm splitting it into two. So one is going to be dating, and one is going to be relationships. And that's an all-women event. I'm going to do one for the men as well. But if you guys, the women in the group, want to check that out, I'm going to put that in too. And I put here, I'll put this in as well. Okay, so why are we here? I am going to give a brief introduction to what this work is all about. This basically the scholarship that this work is based on. What's that scholarship is really established, but what's really unique and innovative about this work are the tools to execute on that scholarship. And so I'll give the introduction to the scholarship. Then I'm going to take your questions, and that's when you guys will start seeing the tools. What I'm doing now is an introduction to this work. So we can build community, we can find out how much we have in common with each other. You guys can get introduced to this work. And then if you want to go deeper, I have the classes, I have the privates, you can check out the books, you know, whatever you want. Okay. So when we talk about relationships, the most successful relationships are those that are balanced between yin and yang, or feminine and masculine energy. That doesn't mean that you have to be straight. Even in a homosexual relationship, there is feminine and masculine energy. Somebody's a top, somebody's a bottom, right? Somebody's a butch, somebody's a femme. These are the most successful relationships because the power struggles are minimized. And in relationships, you can have a power struggle for the feminine energy, which is the sympathy and the feelings and the tears and the guilt, okay? Or you can have a power struggle for the masculine energy, which is the control and the domination, okay? I teach negotiating with love. And we'll get into exactly what that means as we go. Some of this stuff, if you don't get it right away, don't worry. A lot of it does take repetition. Okay, Raul, one second. There is somebody, if you could check out in the comments, who's having trouble getting in. Sometimes that happens. Thank you. Okay, so All of us are both feminine and masculine. Okay. One is not better than the other. And all of us have a unique balance within us. And this is proven, there's been a lot of scholarship on this subject. Obviously, there's the yin yang principles, yin being feminine, yang being masculine, that are attributed to Chinese culture. And those go back thousands of years, right? But we even have more recent studies in the 1980s. Roger Sperry dissected the brains of newts and discovered that we all of us have a right side of the brain, which is the more feminine side, which is the seat of feelings, passive, patient, vulnerable. This is sexuality, sensuality, magic. Feminine energy is in the world to make it fun, but it's not of the world. This is receiving, creative. These are the attributes of feminine energy. There's a lot of confusion about this, so I like to explain it at the beginning. Okay, and then all of us have this left side of the brain, which is that seat of singular thought, of linear thinking, competitive, conquering, controlling. These are the masculine traits. Taking care of, taking responsibility for, okay? Masculine energy is very much of the world. Most of us are in our masculine energy when we're at work because it's about doing and achieving, and there's not a lot of space for feelings at work. But some of us want to switch into our feminine energy when we get off of work, okay? And so I help people a lot with that, and that's why, I'm teaching this class for Dating for Alpha Women, because I help women a lot who are very successful but often have trouble getting into relationships because they don't know how to transfer into the feminine energy when they get off of work. And we live in general, we live in a very masculinized society. A lot of feminine values have kind of gone by the wayside. It's one of the reasons we failed to cherish the environment, for example. Okay. So all of us are both. One is not better than the other, but it's important to know what you want in your romantic relationships. Now, often feminine energy follows gender. It at masculinity follows gender, but it doesn't always follow along gender lines. Like 15 to 25% of the time, it doesn't fall along gender lines. And so that's why I always ask, what do you want? Do you want your feelings cherished, or do you want your thoughts respected? The first is the feminine, the second is the masculine. Everybody wants both. Everybody wants both. But in sticky situations or conflicts, it's important to choose which you want more, because that's again how we diffuse a power struggle. And if you take up both the thoughts and feelings in any one moment, then you're a 10 and the person you're talking to is a zero. And that's an act of narcissism. That's a codependent relationship. I don't teach that kind of relationship, but it's useful to understand what that is. And if someone is doing that, or if you're doing that, so that you know where you're kind of falling on the spectrum. When you're in a codependent relationship, you don't worry about negotiating with love. You're either bullying with fear and intimidation, or you're seducing with guilt and tears, but you're not negotiating with love. Okay. We talk about negotiating with love, we're alternating between feminine and masculine. Now, a lot of us have had this balance disturbed if you've had any kind of childhood trauma. So we come into the world, we're helpless human infants, and we often have to sacrifice our own authenticity as children, and I mean from the ages of 0 to 12, in order to attach to the grown-ups who control our environment, run the refrigerator, take us to school, help us with our homework, right? And based on those interactions, we often draw survival conclusions. And we think that these survival conclusions are existential truths, but in fact, they're just strategies of the moment. The problem occurs when we take these survival conclusions into our adult life. And almost every romantic problem has its root in some kind of childhood trauma. Okay? So you don't automatically just grow out of your childhood trauma. You actually have to actively address it because what happens is anything that occurs between the ages of 0 to 12 has a greater power, a greater valence and effect on us than anything that occurs after that, simply because we have critical developmental windows in the brain that happen in those age ranges. And that Freud was right about that. Freud thought you were basically cooked by the age of 3. Now, he didn't know that the brain can change. So, even though we have these patterns that are deeply rooted from childhood, they are possible to change. And that's what I help people with. A lot of people don't know that there is pain even when making changes for the better. And so I help people understand the difference between those two kinds of pain. Is it the pain that change needs to take place, or is it the pain that change is already taking place? Because if you don't know to expect some level of pain in change, then you stop making changes for the better when it gets painful. You just, oh, this isn't working, right? So it's important to be able to distinguish between those two kinds of pain. So oftentimes, when we do have that kind of childhood trauma and we have unresolved issues, what it provokes is a state in us called ego dystonia. And when we're ego dystonic, that means that if we're authentically feminine, we're instead leading with our masculine. And if we're authentically masculine, we're instead leading with our feminine. And the best archetypes to describe that are the Peter Pan and Wendy archetypes. Wendy taking on too much responsibility, taking care of everyone. She's not even 12 years old. She's a mom to all these other kids, right? Who are just either her age or just barely younger. And then on the other side is Peter Pan, who fails to take responsibility, that won't take on any commitments, and has never had that respect. Okay. So that's what the scholarship behind this work in a nutshell. Again, I'm giving just an overview so that you guys can get a feeling for this work and what are the kinds of things you can ask me about. My specialty is dating and relationships, but I also help people with all kinds of things. Work problems, communication problems, conflicts, family problems. So, whatever you want to ask about, now is your chance. This is my only free event that I'm doing right at this time. So, take advantage of it. Raise your hand, or you can put a question in the chat. Actually, okay. Actually, bro, could you just check it one more time? Because I keep getting notifications that there's comments there. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Is Van here? Because Van, yes, you are. Hi, Van. I saw you put a question into the comments. Did you want me to address it? I think it was something about finance, right?
Thank you, Chloe. Can you hear
Hi,
me?
how are
Hi.
you?
I'm great. It's been a while.
Yes, welcome back. Happy
Thank you very
New
much. Thank you. I met this guy on a dating app and a long time ago. So we've been dating for almost a year and we keep having arguments. So we're working on the relationship right here. And one of the struggles that I have with is finance. I don't know how to bring it up. When we go out, of course, he pays for dinner. And sometimes if it's my idea, hey, let's go out, then I would pay. But I don't do that often. It's just me that I think the man takes the lead. And so that's just me. But we're going on vacation, and I don't know how to bring it up. How do I bring it up? Who pays for what?
Okay, so are you guys in a relationship or are you just dating?
We are in a relationship,
So you're
yes.
exclusive.
Yes.
Okay, because it's different from when you're dating and when you're courting. When you're courting, the masculine energy, yeah, it probably pays. when you're dating, it's depends on what your circumstances are. And this is one of the areas, maybe you've heard me talk about it before, but all couples have four basic areas of negotiation. One of them is money, one of them is space, one of them is play, sexual and non-sexual, and one of them is time. Okay? So, if you haven't negotiated those things, okay. But you will get to a point where you will probably need to negotiate each one. With the money, now I often follow the rubric that if you guys are basically of equal means or roughly equal means, he'll be paying two times to you'll be paying one time. Okay? So you can do it that way. But if you just want like a general standard to go by, or he can pay for dinner and you can pay for dessert. But once you're actually dating, you do want to contribute. It doesn't always have to be financially, but it can be financially, and financially is often the easiest way to contribute. Again, it's not 1-to-1, it's still 2-to-1, but otherwise, sometimes it will work. But sometimes it won't. So you need to then negotiate. And I saw Raul put in the comments, try the stroke and stand. So that would sound like this. Has he said anything or has he complained at all about it?
We didn't really talk about it. So I offered to pay half of it, and he was okay. He didn't say anything. For the big air and hotel, the big purchase. But then when it comes to doing excursions and doing dinner, I just say, hey, what do I owe you? He didn't say anything, but I just say, hey, what do I owe you? And then, of course, he brought out, the
He
bill.
did say. Oh, he did say. Okay. So he did say. So he didn't say, I'm just taking care of it. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, the way that you broach awkward topics is the best way is the stroke and stand rubric. So it would sound something like this. Let's say his name's John. Hey, John, I wanted to talk to you about something. It's probably going to be a little bit awkward. It's about our money. Is now a convenient time, or if not now, when? And hopefully he'll say sometime that day because it's hard to sleep on issues, right? So you get to this talk and you start with a compliment. Now, I can't remember. Are you in the feminine energy or are you in the masculine energy? You want to be in the feminine, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So you would then be praising his thoughts and his generosity. So you start with a compliment. I so enjoyed, and you lead with feelings. I so enjoyed our vacation to Mammoth or wherever you went, our trip to San Francisco. And you've been so generous, and it really makes me feel loved. Something along those lines. Whatever it is for you. I'm just giving you an example. I'm just spitballing it. Then he can accept that, hear it. Oh, that's interesting, blah, blah, blah. Or thank you, or blah, blah, blah. My pleasure. When you show a man respect, that makes him feel good. That's why you don't have to worry so much about catering and cherishing men's feelings, because when you show them respect, they feel good. And when you cherish a woman's feelings, she experiences respect. That's one of those really neat things about this work that this work reveals about just about the dynamics between yin and yang and men and masculine and feminine. Okay, so you're gonna say, you're gonna praise something that he did and tell him how it made you feel good. Thank you for taking me on the trip. It made me feel loved. However, I'm confused about how we're splitting up finances. What's your idea about that? Okay, so you'd be asking about his idea. Again, you're leading with your feelings and asking about his idea. And if he's kind of like, well, I was just thinking, you know, whatever. If you want to pay, you can pay, or you don't want to pay, you don't need to pay, or actually, I wish you were paying more, or, you know, just like get it out on the table. I know these conversations can be stressful. I know when I first received the sheet of negotiable items, I had already been married 10 years and I had like almost a panic attack. I was like, oh, we haven't talked about any of these things. But it's okay. You will get through it. And it's so much better to talk about these things than to sit in the dark
Yeah.
and wonder. And you may be pleasantly surprised. I know I was. When I talked with my husband, we didn't have a ton of problems, but that expressed about money, but yet I had anxiety about it. And I remember when I brought it up, it turned out we were on the same page. So that was fine. So, you know, if he's kind of confused, maybe you have an idea about what you think is fair, but first ask for his ideas. If he's kind of flummoxed, you know, then you can say, oh, well, I have an idea about it. Do you want to hear it? Okay. Because it's not that you can't express any of your ideas, but since you're leading with your feelings, you need to ask permission to give the idea in this setting. It's just putting him on notice. Okay. So he says, oh, well, I thought things were just going great as they were. Then you go, okay, great. I'll just stick with what I've been doing then. You know, if you want to say that, then that would be the end of it. Or if he says, actually, I wish you would pay more, then you could say, oh, well, I don't really feel comfortable with that. Or, okay, I'll think about that. Or, yes, I agree. I think I should pay more. Whatever it is, okay? But do try to lead with a feeling. And if you're not sure how you feel about it, say, you know, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'm gonna have to think about it. Okay. If he has no ideas, you can offer that. If he's like, I don't know, what do you think? Then you say, well, I do have an idea. You want to hear it? He'll say, okay. Then you tell him, well, I think 2 to 1 is good. Like you pay two and I pay one, or whatever you think is good. I don't know the particulars of your situation. You know, when I was with my husband, we made about the same money, so it wasn't a ton to negotiate. Then when I had kids, I stopped working. So again, it wasn't like a lot to negotiate, but it depends on what the particulars of your situation is. And if you wanted, we could schedule private and we could go over it in more detail.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know about the stroke and stent. I didn't know anything about it. So the stroke is just complimenting the guy,
Yes.
right? And then stent is just expressing your opinion. Is that
Well,
what's
no. Then the stand is. Okay, now let's say it goes poorly in the sense that he's like, you know what? I think it's really rude how you've been acting, and I don't, you know, whatever, you know. Or it goes poorly and he says, well, I think you should pay more and you don't want to, or whatever it is. Maybe it won't happen in this instance, but if maybe there's a few instances where it's not going well, there may be a point in which you say, look, everything we do, there has a price tag and a prize. Okay. So there may be a point in which you say, you know what? I don't feel comfortable with you leaving me with the bill. And if that continues, then I'm probably not going to continue seeing you. You know, like that would be an example of an extreme price tag, right? Or, oh, if you want me to pay more, if you're strapped for cash, you know, maybe then I might have to then go out a bit less because I'm not making as much money as you, or whatever it is. Okay. So the stand is the price tag. You don't always have to go to that point, but at some point, you may want to let him know what the price tag is of his actions because I don't want you to go back and forth. I don't want you to argue about it. Whatever he says something, you can respond like, you know, maybe once or twice, go back and forth. Then you're done. You know, if you don't agree, then you either have to accept or reject it. And that's where the stand comes. Whether you articulate that to him in the moment or you save that to tell him in a later date because you are still gathering evidence is up to you. I don't like for people to break up. And I'm not saying you're even close to that, but I don't like people to break up in the heat of the moment in a fight because that never sticks. And then they end up getting back together. So don't do that. And don't let it get into a fight. This is a fact-finding mission more than anything. You may hear things you don't like, you may hear things you do like, but the important thing is this is going to flush the communication so you know where each other stands. Does that make sense?
Yes, I know it's a topic that needs to be discussed. It's just that we're just dancing around it. So, but I do, I thank you for that advice. So I'm writing this down. So
Okay.
I'm gonna practice it. Thank
Okay,
you very
good. And it's
much.
also in my first book, which is on Amazon, How to Live. So the whole rubric of stroke and stand is in the book if you
Oh,
want to refer to it.
okay. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you for sharing. And you guys can, I also love hearing your updates. So if you use some of these tools and you want to tell me how it's going, that's also really, really useful. Okay. Did anybody have more questions? You can raise your hand or put it in the chat. I know sometimes it feels a little nerve-wracking asking questions, but sometimes it's actually easier in a setting with strangers. Okay, I'm gonna put this link in. This is for my Dating Alpha Women event, and it also has the second part's gonna be the relationships. So if you guys want to sign up for either of those, you can do that there. And then I'm going to also put in my other collateral. So if you want to do some more work on that. And again, I'm going to be coming up with the men's companion piece as well about dating. Okay. Questions, comments? I didn't see if there were additional questions in the chats. But I usually do this for about an hour. So, but if nobody has any more questions, I'll wrap it up. Oh, here we go. Teresa? Or is
No,
it Andrew?
sorry, it's Andrew.
It's Andrew. Okay. Yeah. I was like, I recognize the last name.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to do it, but anyways, I've been to a few of your
Yes,
sessions,
I remember you. How are you?
and
Welcome
I don't
back.
remember if I ever brought up the point of being a widower. How long is appropriate to date and or, go exclusive and all that? So I'm just curious what you heard because I feel like everybody's got an opinion on it. And I'm living it, so it's an interesting thing.
How long has it been?
March last year.
Okay, I think you're ready to go. I mean, you don't, I mean, obviously it's up to you,
Yeah.
but I do recommend people get back on the horse as soon as possible. It's been almost a year. You're probably not over it yet. I'd say the first 2 years are the hardest. But that doesn't mean that you can't start dating again, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think?
No, yeah. I mean, I've had a therapist was like, it's really more of your state of mind, how you feel about things. Do you feel healthy? Do other people think you feel healthy? What's their opinion? That kind of stuff. But yeah, it's amazing to me how many people have an opinion on it.
I mean,
Yeah.
it's really 100% up to you, and I would just advise you to do it to only take your own opinion into consideration. Don't shame yourself. There's no shame in it. There's no one right way to do it. You've certainly, if you've already waited almost a year, that's certainly a respectable amount of time. But everybody experiences death different. It's interesting. For a lot of people, a loved one's death is a life-changing experience. Honestly, I've also had clients who've gone through an intimate death and like 1 or 2 months, it seems kind of over it. So,
Yeah.
it really, really, really depends on you, but I would not have any shame about getting back out there. And
Yeah.
certainly, if you're already interested in people, go. As soon as you find you want somebody, act on it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I went into like a super healthy mode and I got to think like it was about 3 months later I started kind of dating, and I've got an I'm in a relationship now, so that's
Oh,
going
you're
great.
already in a relationship.
Oh
And how's it going?
Ah, she's fantastic.
Oh, good. Well, that's great. I mean, it's not that you may never be fully over it. You know, there may be issues that come up. Even if they do come up, healing has to mostly exist within the relationship. It would be very hard for you to heal 100% from this without being in a relationship. And that's why I advise people to get back out there as soon as possible, because oftentimes people are given the advice, well, you're not quite ready. Well, you need to be on your own, or I need to be on my own, or I need to heal first. And that's, you know, I understand people sometimes need me a little bit of time to lick their wounds, but really try not to have it be too much time, because you can't, if you're not in the relationship, you're not being triggered. So you're not really moving forward. You know, you're just isolating yourself and protecting yourself until you're in the relationship and you're going through triggers and you're going through different situations. That's how you start to learn and grow and know where you're at.
I'm digging up my childhood trauma and all kinds of stuff. It's amazing to me when you're going to really doing an introspective look at yourself and you're like, why am I acting this way? I'm like, oh, that's why. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Yeah, you really start to get a taste for it, even though it's painful. You almost start to get addicted to it because you realize life's going to be painful either way. So it might as well be the productive pain of change, right?
Yeah, and I think too now it's a vitality and time is a really big thing for me. So it's like, yeah, I'm moving pretty fast on a lot of things. So it's like, yeah, but my family
Good.
is it gets interesting, right? Because you got the kids and you got the relations and stuff like that. So it's like
Are
trying to
they
be
having trouble accepting?
so. I think we're going through the first, they call it, because I've been through grief share too, the first holidays, first birthdays, all that, and then I think probably this year is when we start trying to integrate a little bit more, but it's not easy.
Right. It's a layered process. And so I think the important thing is to recognize people's effort, even if they're not fully. If you're not fully getting there, even if it feels like you'll never get there, it's gradual, you know? And it'll maybe seem like there's that theory. Are you familiar with Malcolm Gladwell's work and the tipping point?
No.
Well, basically what he's the tipping point, the whole concept of that is that you're working and working and working at something and you have no idea if you're succeeding, if you're gonna make a change, if it's sinking in, if anything is gonna happen, really until you get like a third of the way there, 25 to 30% there. And once you hit that quote tipping point, then all of a sudden everything changes. And I find that it really applies a lot also to relationships and personal growth. He uses the example of the people who worked for a long time to get gay marriage legalized. And it's years and years and years. And they thought they were impossibly far away. And then suddenly, and you may have witnessed this, public opinion sh reached 30% and everything shifted, you know? And they obviously were able to get a lot of legislation passed to their own surprise. And so I think that happens a lot with personal work where you're working and you're working and you're working. Just like, Jesus Christ, is this ever going to end? Am I ever going to succeed? And then suddenly it does. You know, inevitably it takes longer than you want, but that's just the way it is here on Earth.
Yeah, just trying to go the natural course of things and see how it flows.
Yeah, hang in there, you know, obviously, like listen to your kids. And yeah. Good. Well, they're lucky to have somebody who's a parent who's working on themselves.
Trying to lead the way.
Good. Excellent. That's what I
Thank
like
you.
to hear. You're welcome. Thank you for sharing. It's not easy, and a lot of people aren't willing to do any work, right? Most people live unfulfilled emotional lives that are similar to the lives that their parents lead, and then they die. But people who are in this room probably want a little bit more than that. Okay. Okay, Lola has a question. Is Lola here? Hi, Lola. Hey there, Chloe. How are you?
I'm good. You made it in this time.
I did. It's been a while, I think, since I joined.
Yeah, welcome back. How can I help you?
Well, since the last call I was on, I've gone on a few duty dates, right, as you call
Good
them.
for you.
And I found a couple of things. I've learned a lot, right? And I feel like I've worked on like making sure I enforce boundaries. And then also just remember it just reminds you of that, even if they're not for me, that things that guys are still capable of,
100%. And it's so much easier to do that if they're not for you, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And so one guy I was dating, we went on three dates, and I kind of ended it because in between the dates, there was no communication. And I found that to be strange. Like it was, he would plan the next date within the date, but in between, there was almost no communication whatsoever. And I'm a bit, I'm a busy person, right? And I'm sure he's busy, but he's also someone that I noticed from being around him is kind of like attached to his cell phone, right? And so, I was just curious because I hear mixed things about in the early stages of dating within the first few weeks, you
That's
know,
why I
what
do
that
recommend you
communication
give
can
him
look
three
like.
dates.
Yeah, and I did, and it was the same.
Oh,
But
okay.
he always planned the next date
But that's
within
good.
the
And
date. Yeah, that was
how
good.
long in between the dates?
He would maybe a week and a half, I guess we would go on the next date. So
Okay, and so he almost
between
didn't
dates.
commute. Okay. So it really just depends on what you want. I have clients who are just fine doing a long distance, seeing their person a couple times a month on the weekends. I have clients who live in the same city and only see their loved one on the weekends. I have clients who want to see their loved person every single day, right? They move in quickly and, want to get going on that. So it really just matters. It really just depends on what you want and what you don't want. So if you didn't like that pattern that was starting, you had the option of either saying something or, like you did, you just cut it off. Maybe there wasn't enough other things going for him that you would want to say something.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Because if it were, then I would have
You would
said,
have said,
I
okay.
would have said something. But that told me that I wasn't really into. I think that was something I was like, it was fun when we were together, but it wasn't long term. I didn't feel that attraction that way
And
to
if he's
him.
not reaching out, it's
Yeah.
hard to
To build that up.
it really is. Overall, the most successful relationships are the ones in which the man likes the woman a little more than she likes him. So if he's not, that's why he's the pursuer. If he's not pursuing, then it is a little bit, and I understand he set up the date, so that was something, could have built. Yeah, it could have built. It could have changed, but you're also within your rights after three dates to go, hey, I don't want to lead you on. This isn't working for me.
And I feel like people are the best version of themselves early. So if I know there's something that doesn't work for me now, if this is the best version,
I
like my
think that's true overall, but sometimes people get nervous on the first couple dates. And that's why I say give them three dates, because sometimes it's just people just they have stage fright.
That makes sense.
Okay.
That was a good.
Well, good. I'm glad you're getting out there and you're practicing your tools. And so you're learning. And that way, when you do meet somebody that you're crazy about, it'll be a little easier for you to be in your feminine,
For sure.
as you've practiced. Great. Thank you for sharing. Okay, Miss. Hi, Miss.
Hi,
I'm good.
how
I'm
are
reading your thing. My boyfriend has a busy schedule. I see him once a week. He works weekends too. He's in the military, going to school. We talk every day on the phone. Okay, that's good. I don't know. He does tell me he loves me. I have a lot of time. Okay, I worry he doesn't love me that much. Even for Valentine's Day. He works on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Okay. So he's in the military. That means he may
not have a lot of control over his time, right? So he, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt there. But in general, I understand it might not be working for you because, like I was saying, to Lola, some people are okay with seeing their person on the weekend. Some people, that is just not going to work. And then sometimes you may compromise for somebody if you really care about them. Let me ask you this. You don't, you said he says he loves you. Does he show you he loves you? Is he willing to make and keep commitments with you?
Yes, he does commit. I mean, when he said he wants to see me, he'll do it. And when he's not sure, he won't commit.
Okay.
I'm not
And
sure.
then he does he show up when he commits and he shows up
Yes.
on time and
Oh, very early military time.
well, that's very good sign.
He shows up like an hour early. I mean, he's always early. Because I think I have more free time than him, I tend to overthink too much. Maybe I am asking too much time because I'm used to the.
It's not a matter of whether you're asking for too much, you just want more time. There's no like right or wrong reason in it. You know what I'm saying?
And he has another job, and then his job requires him to work weekends. And sometimes he said, "Oh, I want to pick up a longer shift too."
So he's really in the hustle phase of his life and in career.
Yeah, he wants to work. He wants to work, and he's still in the military. And he said he might want to stay longer in the military. So, and he's finishing up school. He'll be done. He'll be graduating.
So he's very much in grind mode. Oh, but
Yeah.
if he's graduating, he might have some more time available.
That's what he says. Oh, you have to be patient. But then I don't know if it's me overthinking it. I don't know if it's because I have so much free time. I'm just thinking the worst is that maybe he doesn't love me that much, or maybe.
Yes, I mean, sometimes that does happen, right? But has he given you any reason to doubt him?
No, he always said, "Here's my location." He turned on his location, so I know he's not lying.
That's a good sign.
I see he's actually at work.
Right.
He shows me, and sometimes he get off really late, and I say, "Oh, you want to come over, stay at my place?" He'll say, "No, I'm too tired, to drive."
Right.
And then,
Right.
some people, or I go on YouTube, they're like saying like, "Oh, there's a will, there's a way. And if he really wants to see you, he'll go
No,
stay in
no, no,
or
no,
something."
no, 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 no. Okay. Let me clarify something. So, if you're the kind of person that wants to be with your guy every single day, then he may not be the right guy. This guy sounds like he wants to earn money. Most men do that in order to provide for a family. So, you may be inspiring him to work, okay? But you have to understand if he's a big earner, he may not have as much time for you. All these women, well, I'm looking for a guy in finance. Well, the guy in finance is going to have to leave at a moment's notice. He's going to be jetting all over the world. When he shows up, he's going to take you to a nice dinner and give you flowers and maybe a Louis Vuitton bag, but he's not the guy who's going to be there around the clock. You understand? You're going to have to find girlfriends or other people to give you that emotional support. But you'll have the money. You'll have that. Nobody's perfect, okay? You're gonna have to measure up in your mind over time. How long have you guys been together?
Almost a year.
Okay, so you should be deciding now if you want to stay with him and wait, or if this isn't gonna work out for you.
So probably I'm overthinking. Maybe I have too much free time and
I think, try to fill your time with other things. Because if what you want is a family and kids, this guy's going to earn the money to take care of you. And that's important to a lot of women.
Yeah, and I mean, he makes time, and sometimes like I'll tell him little things, and he'll just say, "I gotta go." Sometimes maybe I overthink it. I was like, "Oh, does he really care about what I said?" Or maybe he's in a rush.
Well, do
But
we want to? How about this? Let's see how it is when he graduates.
okay.
Let's give it till then. Let's let him graduate, get out of school, and see if he doesn't open up a little more time for you. And if that will work. And in the meantime, You see what you can do. Every day, I want you to do something for at least, this is part of a bigger tool that I teach, but I'm going to start with this small thing. Every day, I want you to do something for at least an hour that is only to make you feel good. Whether it is to have lunch with a friend, is it to go get a massage, is it to take a nap, whatever it is that you, and you know, look, we're not that great at predicting what's going to make us feel good. So some of it's going to be trial and error. But you're missing the good feelings you get when you're with him. And so I'm just trying to see if you can supplement some of those on your own, you won't be in such a deprived state. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, thank you. That's good advice.
Okay, so try those things. Let's see where he's at when we graduate, when he graduates, and revisit it then.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You are so welcome. Very good question. Okay, Alex Moyer. Hi,
Hi.
Alex.
I don't
Hi.
know how to operate this very well to get my camera on because
No,
I'm
it's
using my
okay.
phone.
We don't do cameras in here. You can just ask your question.
Oh, okay. So basically, the context is I'm in the phase of trying to attract. I had a breakup 4 years ago. It was pretty bad, but since then, I just got right back out there and I've been trying my best to on the dating sites and at meetup events and just in everyday life. And I don't know if I'm starting to think maybe it's just my approach. I wanted to just describe a scenario like that
Okay, let me
happened just
ask
the
you a
other
question
day.
first. Let me ask you a question first.
Sure.
Do you want your thoughts respected or your feelings cherished? Everyone wants both. Which do you want more in your
My
intimate
thoughts respected or
relationships?
my feelings cherished?
Yes. One's the masculine and one's the feminine.
I suppose my feelings cherished.
Okay, so then that means you're going to be looking for somebody who's more controlling and dominating, who's going to cherish your feelings, and it will be somebody that you can respect. Does that sound right?
I suppose, yeah.
Okay, so go on, tell me your story.
Well, so like this is just a typical way that I approach. I'm very direct. So I don't even know if I'm too direct. The other day I was at the chiropractor and it's set up so that there it I was waiting for one chiropractor and in the same area somebody else was waiting for acupuncture. And she came in and she just caught my attention right away. And I just struck up a conversation with her and she seemed friendly enough. She was
Good.
mutual, she was engaged in the conversation. She was holding up her end. And I noticed she was wearing rings and I couldn't tell what that meant. So I just very, I didn't ask I too directly, but I just said, "Hey, I noticed the ring. Is that like for bling or?" And she said, and she knew what I meant, and she just said, "Oh yeah, it's just bling. I got it at blah 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 blah." The conversation
Oh,
then
so she had a
continues.
ring on her wedding finger?
She had rings on all of her fingers, a lot of her fingers.
Okay, including that finger. Because a
I
lot of women
think.
will wear w rings, but not on that finger, on the
I don't
left.
know if it was on that
Okay, so it's
finger.
the for women, it's the left hand ring finger.
It might not have been on that finger.
Okay, because okay, but okay, carry on.
When she said it was bling, it seemed pretty clear that she
Right,
was
she was single. Okay.
single. And at a certain point, my chiropractor came in and it was past the time I was supposed to go in, and
Right.
I said, "Well, I guess they're going to call me anytime, but it was nice chatting with you." And then I turned away for a moment and I collected my thoughts And I remember my guy friends who are good at this kind of stuff saying a direct approach is usually most effective. Just ask her straight up without a pretext. If she denies you, she denies you.
Okay.
I turn to her and I say, "Hey, I know this is totally random, but would you be interested in swapping numbers? Maybe we could chat again." And she says, "Actually, I'm okay. Sorry." And
Okay.
I said, "Okay, no problem." And I turned away, and that was the end of it. But I don't know, and that's how it usually goes. I
Okay.
just keep getting
Okay, so let
rejected.
me, okay, so let's talk about that for a second. Everything sounded good. The thing is, though, if you are the one talking first, that's the masculine energy. So you're not going to get your feelings cherished. You're going to have to cherish her feelings. And cherishing her feelings is going to inform the close. So instead of saying, hey, I would really like, first of all, would versus want. When you say the word would, you're telegraphing to the other person that you don't expect them to say yes. And lo and behold, she didn't. So instead, you say, hey, I enjoyed talking to you. I want to take you to dinner. How do you feel about that? Okay.
Okay.
That's a little stronger, but that's the masculine. If you want to get your feelings cherished, you would play it differently. So you might say you wouldn't initiate, but you'd give eye contact and smile and wait her for to initiate. Typically, I don't advise people to initiate until they've received eye contact and smile from the other person. So I don't know. Did you get that first? Or you just launched in with your
She
conversation?
smiled.
She did. Okay. Like 5 seconds of eye contact and smile, like significant.
I wouldn't say 5 seconds of eye
Okay.
contact and smile, no.
Okay. But if it's close to that, then you might, you know, okay, she smiled, you began talking. Nothing was really wrong with that, except that if you, it is the masculine mode. So if you want it to be in the feminine mode, you would instead smile, give eye contact, and wait for her to start unless you asked her for help with something. You understand? So those are the two different approaches. And again, you might have a better chance if you do go the masculine, if you ask in the way that I said. I know it sounds like really small difference in language, but this, I work with the quantum mechanics of language. That's what I work with.
Okay.
These small differences make a huge impact. I promise you saying, I enjoy talking to you. I want to take you to dinner. How do you feel about that? Is going to get a different response than, hey, it was really good chatting to you. I don't know if you would like to go to dinner, but maybe we could exchange numbers. Okay.
Got it.
Okay. So, you know, play with that a little bit. Think about what you want. If you, it sounds like you want to initiate, which then you would be in the masculine, which would be feelings respected. You can also try it both ways. A lot of, are you over 45 years old?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So a lot of times when men get older, they become more feminine because of hormone changes, and women become more masculine because of hormone changes. So sometimes at your age, it will flip, and that's okay too. But my only thing there is if you want it to go back and forth, I mean, the true definition of an alpha is somebody who has a very strong masculine side and a very strong feminine side. And so they're always trying to navigate between the heart and the head.
Okay.
If you're in that position, fine. But then if you initiate, then you have to make the close too. And I'm telling you, you'll have a better chance by saying, I want, how do you feel? Than what you said.
Oh, that's interesting feedback. I was almost thinking like maybe I was too much too soon guy, and I better move would have been like she's come to see her every week. Maybe I don't ask right away. I just leave it alone for the play it cool. And if I see her around, then build rapport and then ask.
Well, that would be a more feminine approach. You could just build rapport and wait for her to ask, you know, and then that would be more the feminine. But the masculine, a masculine man or masculine energy person goes after what he, she, they want.
Yeah, that's what
So
I
that's
think.
why you say, I want, not I would like. I want to buy your car. I would like to buy your car. Who's going to get your car? The
Versus
person
I
that I
want.
want. Yeah. Okay.
Could it just be as simple as I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you again. Why don't we exchange numbers? Let's exchange
No,
numbers.
no. Ask about her feelings. How do you feel about?
I want to talk to you again. How do you feel about that?
Yeah. I've really enjoyed this. I want to talk
I
to you again.
really.
How do you feel about giving me your number? Not exchange numbers. You're going to call her.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Unless you're the feminine, in which case you could give her your business card and say, if you ever want to chat, call me. But you
That
see, you're
never
playing it
works. It's a
safe
wussy
there.
move. Sorry for
Right.
that.
It doesn't work. Right. Good
It
point.
says I'm a wuss and it says I'm not following the conventions.
Right. See, and I work with that with men a lot, and that's something when I do the men's dating workshop that we're going to talk about, which is that, a lot of men, they want to be in the masculine, but they don't want to put themselves out there and ask for the date. You can't have it both ways. If you want to be in the masculine, you got to have the balls to ask her out.
Got
The reason rejection is so painful, because rejection is ubiquitous, so it's happening all the time in dating, in work, it's all happening all the time. So it's good to get desensitized to rejection. The reason the rejection hurts so much is from what I is because of what I said at the beginning, because it inevitably triggers that initial rejection, that childhood wound, and that's why people avoid it so much. And the more you avoid it, the more
and
it gets
worse it is,
control.
scary.
Yes.
Of
So
course.
I like your attitude about going in for the kill. Now you just got to tweak your words a little bit. See if you don't get a res different result and let me know what happens. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
I love to hear your updates. You are
Okay,
so
thank you. I'm gonna lower my
welcome.
hand if I can.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you so much for sharing. Okay. Okay. Okay, one more quick question. Last question. Venus.
Hello?
Hi. Venus.
Hi.
Hi, how are
Yes,
you? Can
Vina.
I help
Hi,
you?
Emmy. Yes. So this is really complicated. So I've been dating this man for about a year now. We moved in together 6 months ago. He has two kids. He recently got divorced, and I'm still getting my divorce. So what happening in our relationship is, I feel like I'm not emotionally fulfilled as well as sexually as well as financially. For financial, I felt like I'm the one who kept helping him. The fact that I lend the money like $100,000 to him,
A hundred thousand?
yes, $100,000
Okay.
2 months ago. So for
That's a
me,
lot.
for me, it's not really a big deal. I have a few business, and I still have like a full-time work. So what really bothers me is,
Wait, why does he need money?
so like what I said, he is divorcing, and they have this really expensive house in Los Altos. And of course, the rate right now is so expensive, so they're not afford to refinance, and he needs to buy out his ex-wife, and all of that matter. So
Okay.
yeah,
So is the arrangement that he's gonna pay you back?
so that's the thing. So that's probably my mistake. So that's my understanding, that he's gonna pay me back, but and his understanding is he's not gonna pay me back or something like that. So like probably 2 months ago, we because I don't like talking money. So probably 2 months ago, we come to the conclusion that, okay, since that I'm living with you, and he kind of expect me to pay some of the bills. So what I said is, okay, so I'm not gonna pay $3,000 a month for the house and whatever
Right,
electricity,
until it makes up for the 100K.
Yeah, so which is okay, which is fine with him. So what really bothers me is the fact that I don't that, like he gets everything that he wants from a relationship. He got me. I'm successful. I'm young. I'm beautiful and all of that. But what I want is I never get it. It's
So let me
emotionally.
ask you, is he 51% valuable?
I don't know. I couldn't tell. I mean, all of his energy and effort and money is to his ex and to his children. I think what
What are
it's
you
gonna
getting out of the relationship? Are you
exactly.
getting anything out of it? What are you getting?
I'm getting nothing. Well, he cooks breakfast for Alexis. That's just all I get.
For his daughter?
For my daughter. I have a 9-year-old daughter
Oh,
with
he cooks
us.
breakfast for your daughter. That's
Yes.
all you're getting out of this deal.
Out of this deal, we gone to multiple travels already, probably six, abroad, and I spent most of the money. I buy stuff for his kids. I do
Why did you do
grocery.
all that? What was your reason for doing all that?
Because this is my nature. I'm generous, and I can see that they need it, so I just do it.
Okay. But now
So
you're feeling resentful.
I am feeling resentful. It's because I don't know. Maybe I'm asking too much. Maybe so for example, but I get that he's busy. I'm busy. So most of the time we don't have to. It's not that we don't have time. I just can see that he's busy with the kids. And 8 o'clock he has a meeting, and then I have to leave at 9. So what I'm saying is, okay, we are both busy. So why can't you like even text me, like check in with me, or probably call me, like I don't know, like say how you're doing. It's like totally nothing.
Yeah, I
It's
mean, what you're describing is sounds to me like a codependent relationship where you're the zero and he's the 10 and you just do everything for him.
exactly. And I come to the point that and I come to the point that so it has been 2 weeks now. I stopped because I'm very masculine. So what I did
So do
is,
you, right, okay.
what I did is in my mind, and I said, "Oh, fuck this! I am not gonna keep sitting here waiting for him to pay attention to me. No, I'm not gonna do that." So I start like, I have a lot of friends. They ask me, "Hey, do you want to hug?" And then I just say yes. I completely ignore like asking him because
Right.
it. So what I'm feeling is not that I'm losing respect to him. What I'm feeling is I'm becoming dependent on him, which I don't want to, and I'm not allowing it. And then recently I block him on I block him on, probably it's about 5 days now. I block him and totally block him because he doesn't call me anyway. He doesn't text me anyway. He only called me
This
when.
doesn't sound good. I mean, this is a maybe a longer discussion, but because I have to wrap things up now, but
Yeah,
I
but
mean,
the
if
thing is, I brought it up today, and then he said it's nonsense. It's crazy. So I was like,
that's
is.
not good either.
And I was like,
Because if you're doing everything, you're the masculine, he needs to show you respect. It
exactly.
doesn't
And
sound like he's respecting you. It doesn't sound like he's cherishing you either.
yeah,
So I'm
you're
just,
right.
every relationship in your life, you should be getting either a mental, emotional, or physical benefit from it. And if you're not, what are
Yeah,
you doing? And
I
second of
don't.
all, if he's not cresting over 51%, he's done.
Yeah.
But I
So,
mean, I hesitate to make such quick, judgments, but I'm just at off of everything you've told me, and in the interest of time, that's what I think.
I think so now what I'm doing is I'm debating to myself. I can definitely move out and find a place, rent a house or something. I do have a house like about 15 miles from where we live,
But then
but
you're going to probably be losing the money.
what do you think I should do? Because I tried to bring up the things that bothering me, and his response to me is that's crazy. So I mean, are you saying that I'm crazy? Are you saying that my feeling is
Right.
not
Well, that's
valid?
something that's a red flag. It's called discounting. And when somebody tries to talk you out of your thoughts or feelings, it's a red flag. You have the autonomy over your own thoughts and feelings. He can have a reaction to that, but otherwise that's again non-cherishing and disrespectful. So okay, if you want what you can do, sometimes I do this. It doesn't sound like there's much debate or much conflict in your head, but sometimes what I'll tell people to do is do a blind study. And so you take a 2 week period of time. You just give yourself 2 weeks. You can do longer if you wanted, but I think 2 weeks is good. And every time you think about the relationship and you think, oh, I can't stand him, I got to break up with him, you put an X on a piece of paper and you put it in a not a in a in a in an opaque container or box, so you can't see through it. So not a see-through jar, because in a see-through jar you could see. Every time you think about the relationship in those 2 weeks and you think, God, I love this guy, I cannot live without him, you put a O on it. At the end of 2 weeks, you look at your results. So you could try that too. But you can also reach out to me. You guys, I'm going to wrap it up now, but you can also reach out to me. I put my collateral up here in the chat. You can reach out to me through Meetup or through my website, Instagram. I'm also doing this course. This is going to be just like an hour and a half for dating for alpha women, which is just going to be like, we're going to get really into it. I'm going to give you guys the best stuff on that one. And if I don't hear from you, I am usually here on a Thursday. I know I didn't answer everybody's questions tonight, but come back, reach out to me, schedule a private, whatever you want. And if I don't hear from you, I hope to see you soon. Have a good night.